I invite you tonight to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 5, as we consider the theme of being an overcomer. 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 are our assignment for the evening. Now, I don't need to tell you anything that you don't know. We all have burdens in our lives. We all have days when we don't seem to feel like we're going to be able to finish. Sometimes we, as the saying goes, we can't see the forest through the trees. We get bogged down in our situation, get discouraged. We don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel, or if we do, it's a freight train coming right at us, and we don't even know how we're going to get through. And it's in times like those that our faith becomes operative. Our faith is not just a pie in the sky by and by, but it comes to reality when we face challenges and difficulties. Does Christianity work? Is it relevant? That's really the subject tonight. So once again, John is going to deal with some very practical truths concerning the real child of God. A child of God is not just someone who goes to church. Lots of people today went to church. It's not just someone who reads the Bible or someone who prays or witnesses. There are many people who do all of those things and they live totally under the control of one power or another, and it's not God. And they give in daily and they don't demonstrate any of the victorious life that Christ died, was buried, and rose again for us to live. So the passage reads this way, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As we look at these verses, we could say that John is basically dealing with the results of being in the family of God. The proof, we could say, that you are a child of God. When you bring a child home from the hospital, there are certain things that you can expect. There are other things that happen that you don't expect. But there are certain presumptions that we make with children of their growth patterns and maturity. And we're all here as proof of the fact that we grew up to some degree or another. Hopefully we're all still growing. But we give evidence of the fact that there is life, and life produces growth and maturity. So what we're going to see tonight are really the results of being in God's family. What are those results? The first one that John states is that of believing. The first result is they who believe. He says this, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, this word believe is very, very interesting. It's a shame we all haven't learned New Testament Greek and we don't have our New Testament Greek Bibles in front of us. The English version is certainly clear enough if we understand its tenses. This is a present tense idea. It is not one who has just believed in the past, 10 or 20 years ago. You know, oh, I believed that at one time in my life. You might meet some people who say that. Well, I used to believe that, or I put faith in Christ a long, long time ago, but there's nothing practical today. That's really not the idea. The idea in this thought is that it is not something that is only in the past, but it is something in the present. Literally, it's the one who is believing. It's not just faith in the past, but it's faith in the present. So the question tonight, as we look at this text of Scripture, is not, have you believed? Many of you would say, yes, I have believed. The question is, are you still believing? Because there are many who we study in the scripture who at one time, like Simon, said they believed in the book of Acts, but then he turned away. Apostates, those who fall away. So this is the idea of progressive faith, that we are continuing to believe. There was a fellow by the name of George Whitefield. He did a lot of work in our region. Well, George Whitefield, at the age of 16, became convicted of his own sin. He tried everything to become acceptable to God. He writes his testimony. He says, "I fasted for 36 hours twice a week. I prayed formal prayers several times a day and almost starved myself to death during Lent. But I only felt more miserable. Then by God's grace, I met and heard Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley put a book in my hand that showed me from scriptures that I must be born again." Finally, Whitefield understood that he had to trust in Jesus Christ. He believed that he was both forgiven and changed, and of course he became a great preacher, and he spoke thousands of times on the subject of "you must be born again." When John says, "whoever believes," it is a faith that has begun but continues and perseveres and goes on throughout a person's life. Notice the second result that John gives. It is a truth from nature. He says here, "everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." You understand that language? Literally, what John is saying is that everyone who loves God also loves those who have been begotten of him, of God. Those are the children of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ. So this is a truth from nature. Whoever loves the parent will naturally love the other siblings that come from that same parent. That's a normal family, a healthy family. It's only natural for a child of a parent to love their brothers and sisters. All who love God will love his children also. If you love the Creator, you will love his offspring. There's an interesting testimony given by Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee, as you know, was a general, Confederate Army, and he was approached one time by one of his guys. He was asked what he thought of a fellow officer. So I'm going to liken this unto those that are officers in the service. And so he was asked what he thought about a fellow officer. This fellow officer never had a good word to say about Robert E. Lee. He brought him down every time he could. If you asked this guy about Robert E. Lee, he would say one derogatory remark after another about Robert E. Lee. So this officer came to Robert E. Lee and said, "what do you think of that other fella?" And the person who asked the question was pretty perplexed by Lee's response, because Lee knew that this guy berated him all the time. But the general said, "well, I guess you don't know what he's been saying about you." And Lee answered, "well, you know, I know what he's been saying about me, but you asked me what I thought of him. You didn't ask me his opinion of me." You see, he wouldn't bring another person down. He was respecting the fact that he was also in the same rank. And in the family of God, we ought to respect one another, as the Bible says right here, to love him who begot as also we have been begotten. So the third is next in verse 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." The third is that we love God. Even as one cannot love God without loving his children, so also it is impossible to truly love the children of God without loving God also. If one claims that they love their brother but doesn't love God, he has not truly recognized that this other has also been born of God and has not offered him the true love that comes. This is a great quote. It says, if love to people proves the worth of our love to God proves the worth of our love for people. And so the two really go hand in hand. As John goes on, he gives us the fourth commandment, or the fourth, rather, result of being a child of God relates to his commandments. Notice he said in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And we'll go on later about his commandments. But his commandments, if we love God, we will obey his word, we will carry out his commandments. I like this by Francis Hess. I put this up on the slides. It's pretty long. There's about three of them. Some of you may even want a copy of it. But the master's will, for this I pray, whatever it may be, I do not want to miss your best. Reveal it, Lord, to me. My own desires may lead me wrong. I must consult my God. His counsel will be justified when all the way I've trod. O soul of mine, delight in him. His word discern, obey. The plan you seek to know will then unfold from day to day. We do not live our lives alone. If I am in God's will, the lives of others will be helped, his purpose to fulfill. My all, O Lord, I give to you, my body, mind, and soul. May all the days that lie ahead be under your control. Francis Hess wrote this as a prayer, communicating really the concept of this verse, that if we love God, we will honor, respect, and keep his commandments. His commandments will be that which we will demonstrate, proving that we are the children of God. So just so that no one thinks that love for God is only emotional, John repeats the same idea from the previous verse. True love requires action. One who loves God will lay down their lives for their master, and his commandments are not burdensome. This brings us to the fifth result of being a child of God, and this is really where we work out our salvation in victory. The fifth result of the new birth is the commandments are not burdensome, not a burden. Now, to the natural man, the things of God cannot be understood. The Spirit of God helps us to understand these things. And so the requirements of a holy life are foreign and difficult to the one who is outside of Christ. But when God has entered into us through the new birth, then his yoke, as Jesus said, becomes easy, and his burden becomes light. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And the idea is that as we are working on our own, we are tiring and exhausted, striving to please God, and we cannot, even as Whitfield discovered. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Sometimes we are striving hard to do something even that God wouldn't require of us to do, thinking that that's a way we're going to please God. Come back to his word. His spirit enables us to look at the commandments and realize they're not too hard, because it's the power of the spirit that helps us live these truths. So how is it that we can keep God's commandments? John says that we've been given the power to overcome, he says right here, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is critical. Our faith doesn't just save us. Our faith lives out so that we live in obedience to God's word in victory. It brings us to our sixth result, victorious living. The sixth result of the new birth is that we are overcoming temptation. Temptation doesn't bring us down. We continue to live victoriously over it. It's interesting as we look at the idea of being victorious, verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That word overcome is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. Those of you who know anything about numbers know the significance of 7. Overcomers are not a special class of people. They're just true believers. True believers are overcomers. So John sees our victory as complete. He doesn't say you will be overcomers, does he? No, he says you are an overcomer. John sees it as finished. So how does he do that? Well, the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your finger back here and jump back with me to John chapter 16. The correlation of 1 John to the Gospel of John. Look with me, please, at John 16, verse 33. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you." And by the way, this is at the end of the upper room, so you'll know where we're going in the morning. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Here it comes. In the world, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have trials and difficulties and tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because Jesus overcame the world, we can overcome the world. And so the culmination of John's point is to emphasize really the results of the new birth. It is seen in those who believe, not those who have believed, but those who continue to believe, who persevere in faith. When we think about victories and we think about winning, we often think about the battles that we face. And there was an enthusiastic believer in Christ named Dan Richardson, who sadly died of cancer. But his life, as his body began to deteriorate through the process of cancer, and some of us are familiar with what that looks like, he wrote a poem that was then read at his memorial service. You may have heard it, you may have read it, you may have shared it with some people. I remember sharing this with my brother Paul, as well as sharing it with my own dad. He said, "Cancer is so limited, it cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot eat away peace. It cannot destroy confidence. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot shut out memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot reduce eternal life. It cannot quench the spirit. It cannot lessen the power of the resurrection." How glorious is God's victory in Christ that these things cannot be overcome. Finally, then, persevere. The perseverance of the faith. The one who believes will believe until the very end. Notice he says, "He who overcomes the world is he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." To persevere is to continue on, to finish well, to not come to a point where, as recently we've had a few characters in the Christian community who said, "Everything that I taught and everything that I believed, I don't believe anymore." That was not a saving faith. That was not a persevering faith. That was a faith for a moment. The faith that John speaks of here, the believer from verse 1, is the same believer in verse 5. The one who overcomes is the one who perseveres, the one who continues, the one who won't allow cancer to take away their faith. Sadly, I've spoken to some people in my life, as maybe some of you have, who've gone through difficult times, and they've made this statement, "I lost my faith." That's not a biblical faith. That's not a faith that is a saving faith or a persevering faith. So what we need to do is to fix our faith in Christ. And that preposition is very, very important because it is the direction that we proceed. It's not necessarily only believing at one time and one moment, but is a faith that continues in him, walking with him, and living the life of an overcomer. That's what Christ died for us to do. We will all face difficult times. We will all experience temptation. We might even succumb to it, but we don't stay down. We confess our sin, and Jesus picks us back up, and we get back on the path, and we continue to walk. We get knocked down, but we don't get knocked out. Paul spoke about that in Corinthians. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, you desire for us to trust you, not just at one moment, but continuously. And this faith that John spoke of here is a faith that he obviously lived out in his life as he persevered. And we know the end of the story for men like John and others. He was the only one who was not martyred. He was allowed to live until his older days. He demonstrated the perseverance of faith as he witnessed all of his brethren giving their lives for the Savior that they loved. We pray that you will strengthen us tonight as we go through trials and difficulties, that we will have that same kind of faith to persevere, and that we will give these same demonstrations of the new birth in our lives that John spoke of here, the results that prove that we have been born of God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've loved us, that you've welcomed us into your family. May we love you and others in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your hymn book if you